Listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples. Find us online at cjsf.ca, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
Hello, and welcome to the Canadian Philosophy Show. My name is Aaron Wang, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Brandon Brownlee. The topic I've chosen for today is AI, art, and the ethical implications of what happens when you put those two things together. I was inspired by a story that I read about a German photographer who entered his photograph into the Sony World Photography 2023 Award and won the award in the Creative Open category. The winning photograph has two women, possibly from two different generations. The black and white photo shows one leaning on the other, while the seemingly younger female in front looks up. In a statement on his website, the photographer by the name of Adelaison, who studied photography and visual arts at the Art Academy in Mainz, conceptual art and intermediary at the Academy of Fine Arts in Prague, and fine art at the Sarajinsky Nedichu School of Arts in Communication in Hyderabad. He said, applied as a cheeky monkey to find out if competitions would be prepared for art images to enter. They are not, he added. We, the photo world, need an open discussion, said Adelaison. A discussion about what we want to consider photography and what is not. Is the umbrella of photography large enough to invite AI images to enter? Or would this be a mistake? With my refusal of the award, I hope to speed up this debate. So he goes on to say, AI and images and photography should not compete with each other in an award like this. They are different entities. AI is not photography. Therefore, I will not accept the award. So this is someone who is looking forward into the future, who has a long-standing relationship with art and photography, and is saying we need to have an ethical discussion, and of course then leading to a legal discussion, regarding AI-generated images and photography as art, because these should not be considered the same thing. So I'll open the floor to Brandon if you'd like to comment.
Yeah, so there's something kind of interesting going on here. The photographer understands this, that let's just put this on the table. It's kind of obvious, but we have to do this because we're in philosophy. We have to state the obvious. It seems to be difficult sometimes to distinguish between a photograph and an artificially generated image that is put on to resemble a photograph. It seems like this photographer, I'm already forgetting the name, I apologize, but they are saying that there is a difference, but that because, well, and this is, I'm kind of inferring here, but because it seems like these judges were willing to award the photograph, quote-unquote photograph, an award.
Most people would think that they are prepared to know the difference between an AI-generated image and a image that is created by a professional artist or a professional photographer.
Right.
And there's a fundamental difference between those two things. Now, the question is, what is that fundamental difference? From the perspective of a philosophy of what is art, that's an interesting question. Obviously, we consider the domains of painting and photography to both be domains of creating art. The artists have very different methods, styles, and philosophies about what makes a good piece of art with their respective fields. And of course, there's always controversy, so to speak, about what is a good piece of art and what is not a good piece of art. That being said, there are some very real ways you can say whether or not a painting is a good painting or is not a good painting. You can think of composition, you can think of colors, proportion. Those are all real things that you can talk about when you study a piece of art. NAI might be able to replicate some of those things, but it would not be able to duplicate the process that goes through a painter's mind or a photographer's mind when they are creating a creative work. And because of that, we should not see AI-generated images and AI-produced materials as being the same type of thing as art. I think that's one place to start.
This matter of kind of, I think you're gesturing towards something like intentionality. You're putting out some features, things like composition and color and whatnot. And then there's this question of, okay, well, an artist arranges, and we're just working with the graphic arts here for now, the artist arranges their material to compose a certain image. I think that's correct. But the contention then is that artificial intelligence don't really do that, even if they seem to produce an image that exhibits some kind of composition. Clearly, as the award-winning photograph has done, I'm sure it wouldn't have won if it didn't have good composition or something like that. But the matter is it that they're like, because there's not really a mind there to be doing the considerations and to issue an intentionality of, you can't point to the AI and say that there was an agent who was the cause of this composition. I mean, there's all kinds of explanations for why an AI may have generated it with a certain composition, but that would look more like mathematics and its relation to the training data, I would think. Whereas with an artist, there's a reference to, you know, practices of certain kinds of artistic techniques kind of synthesized with, well, this may be actually foreign to some theories of art, but something like an expression or an inner kind of intentionality prior to the composition that is trying to be expressed. Not all theories of art do that. Some are expressionist theories, which say that actually you don't have to have a sort of prior individuated feeling. You can just kind of come up with that. You can play on the canvas, as it were. You don't have to have a prior idea. You can just see what works. And so, yeah.
And we've had in the philosophical traditions and in academic traditions, there's the idea of having a story that is intentional and that being very important. And that has kind of what makes its way into art, where some people saw art for it being really important that the art tell a story and that story be explicit and easily understood and understandable. Of course, then there were other movements, both in academia, such as the movement of postmodernism, and I'm not speaking specifically of art movements yet. I do remember when I visited the National Art Gallery in Ottawa that they had an exhibit dedicated to Canadian Impressionist art. And so there was the difference mainly there was that previously art had been something that detail was what made good art, so to speak. The more detailed or lifelike a piece of art, the better it was, objectively speaking. The Impressionist movement kind of said, no, let's not do that. Let's embrace what makes painting painting. And so let's show off the brush strokes in our painting and capture the movement and the vibrancy of life. And so that's what kind of the Impressionists took to make art being good. And so it's worthwhile to think about those are two different sets of values. I guess the question then becomes, let's say that this proposition is valid, that AI art should compete in its own category. Well, then what criteria would we put forward for AI-created art? How would we as humans justify what is good or not good AI art?
The way that Impressionism sort of understood or had a re-understanding of painting's inherent structure, I guess, in a way. I mean, when you paint, you tend to work with a paintbrush and you tend to work with pigments and you tend to work on a surface. There's all kinds of interesting exceptions to those, I'm sure, but we can bring it into that. And the Impressionists understood that there's more that you can do with this than just produce the most realistic image as possible. You can just draw plane figures. You can draw with the depth of the actual pigment itself. Sometimes the pigment actually comes a good deal off the canvas if you're working on canvas. So they understand, yeah.
And you can show your brush strokes,
yeah,
rather than purposefully hiding them through clever techniques.
Yeah, and so I'm to bring this to your question, how might we tell or categorize start to work out what AI art might look like in its more categorized form. I think if you look to the actual medium itself, as we've been talking about with painting, it's got certain what I'm going to call features to it. You just really want to try and look to what the features of AI art are. And the thing about AI art is the actual art product doesn't seem to have any of the features that go into, well, this, I might be wrong. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about this, but what I'm going to call the image, you know, what gets produced by the AI artist, it doesn't seem to bear any mark of, like, at least inherently. I mean, they could obviously take whatever prompts or whatever they're using to produce it and publish that alongside it, but the image itself doesn't seem to contain the features of the medium. You know, a painter, when they paint with a brush stroke or when a dancer moves their body, they are incorporating the material used to produce it, whereas there seems to be this gulf between the idiomatic brush strokes that compose the image and the image itself, which makes it very difficult to discern an image from, say, you know, a photograph converted into a JPEG file or something like that. So it seems like an analysis based on the medium. There might be brighter minds that figure out how to do it, but there seems to be that difficulty there. I think it's if we're trying to tease out, well, what's the difference between a photograph and an AI art image? I mean, a photograph does have physical features, at least when photography was analog and maybe even when it's digital, but those features seem to have fallen away now that we largely exist in a world where we view art over computers. That again, there might still be people who would argue otherwise, that real art isn't just stuff you find on the internet. I almost want to hope so, because I think that the art world, or what makes art so valuable, is something that you can find in a real space or something like that. But again, I'm trying to point out possible reasons why there seems to be such an enormous, it's not obvious that there is like an enormous kind of controversy or debate around this, but we're talking about this because this is something that a lot of people feel is an important discussion to have. And I'm just trying to say why this might actually be very difficult.
Yeah, I think that there are some complexities here, especially when it's really hard to describe how an artist produces a work of art and what that experience is, especially if you're not an artist yourself. And I guess I'll just share a story on that is somewhat relevant to this. So, as people will know who are listening on the island, or Vancouver Island, that is, there is an island across from Nanaimo's harbor called Gabriola Island. And this island has many artists. And so they have a arts council. There's an arts festival usually every year around Thanksgiving. And I've had the privilege and opportunity to attend that festival a few times and see some of the art displayed and speak to some of the artists there. Everyone does approach things a little bit differently, but everyone has an experience creating their art where they know something about something in the physical world that they're trying to duplicate or they're inspired by, and then they take that and put it into their medium and put it into their art. Now, the problem with that interpretation is that sometimes it's not necessarily a physical thing. There are people who take their inspiration from many things, such as nature, or you could say insights from people of the past. So that could come through the way of traditions or books or notably religious texts. Those have often been an inspiration for certain types of art. In the past, religions have tried to control what types of arts can be produced and tried to define what good art is and what not good art is. So this question, philosophically and societally speaking, actually has a great deal of weight to it in a way which you might not expect, which is that the media that we approve of as a society and our relationship to it, whether we worship it or whether we simply look at it and find inspiration in it, or whether we look at it to guide us in a certain way or discover something about who we are from an emotional experience. I'm reminded about the series that we recently did on the Canadian Philosophy Show on existentialism, about how we can find meaning in our existence and what that process is, how you discover meaning and purpose. To kind of tie things together a little bit, the lack of that experience with all of its emotions and the humanness of it, when an AI creates a piece of art, that seems to be taking away something fundamentally important, which I think is why so many people are concerned about it. That being said, with regards to photography specifically, generally speaking, photography is the art of taking pictures of things that exist in the real world. You know, it's not painting. It's not some other type of medium where you're trying to create something that doesn't exist in the physical world. You're trying to take pictures of something that does exist in the physical world. And I mean, you might create a model of something, you know, like the Star Trek Enterprise that has some symbolic or meaning in a sense of something that it isn't really what it exists. It's just a model. But when you take a picture of it, you think of it as something that flies through space and carries people on adventures. Or you can think about that connection where photography really is about taking the inspiration from the physical world. And in that regard, in particular, perhaps it's best suited to reject AI-generated images because they're something you can say very clearly doesn't come from the physical world in the same way.
I think you're right to point out the inherently representational nature of photography. You could point to like an abstract photograph, but it would be an abstract kind of representation of an elaborate abstract looking collage of whatever you've thrown together. I mean, the photograph just represents whatever you point it at. You can Photoshop it or whatever. It's still kind of a photograph too, but yeah, it's this inherent kind of representational nature of the photograph. And then since they're kind of both images and they're being put next to each other, it can look like there can be this confusion about how is it that since photographs, you know, you can't take a photo of justice, you know, as a concept. So to say that AI art kind of aspires to this supra-representational representation of things like justice or these other things that we value, and which apparently art gives us access to, it makes the case difficult for AI art.
It's also worth considering the nature of AI on this front. So we've talked quite a bit about the nature of art, and I'm sure that there are many artists and other people who've cringed because, as people who generally discuss philosophy, we are not particularly well-trained and suited to do that. Fortunately, I do have a little bit of computer science in my background, so I can hopefully do a little bit better about talking about what AI is. Artificial intelligence tries to mimic human endeavors intelligently, and that's perhaps not a very strong description. But essentially, whenever someone creates an artificially intelligent system, what they're doing is they're taking another humanly created system, say a thermometer, and they're creating another system that normally a human only could do, and lets a machine do that instead. So you could say, is it hot outside? You could create a machine that looks at a thermometer and says, oh, it's 20 degrees outside. That's hot. It's over whatever threshold you say for it, say over 10 degrees. Then you might take that machine and you might say, oh, well, I want to know if it's hotter or colder than it was yesterday or maybe a week ago. And then you could say, well, you know, like it's hotter than yesterday. It's colder than yesterday at this time. And then from there, you could add further data into its memory. And from there, you might say, you might have other questions you might ask it. You might give it multiple goals. You might say, is it raining? Is it cloudy? Is it sunny? And so you can start giving more goals to your agent as you give it more information about its environment. And you give it the ability to store information about that environment. Now, after you create goals for an agent, the next step is creating a function that can evaluate those goals, a decision-making system for how it makes those goals. And that's more or less what neural networks are. A neural network is a system that tries to imagine what a human brain does. It takes connections. So essentially, it will take an input, throw that through a network of possible outcomes, think about what its executive function, think about what goals you've set out for it to achieve, and what executive functioning function is telling it what makes something good, and it will build stronger connections around what the executive function likes, and weaker connections around what the executive or supervising function does not like. That's artificial intelligence in a nutshell. Although there's probably some flaws with my explanation. From there, the question becomes, is the process AI uses to create art fundamentally different from the way humans do? And this is very, very true. The fact of the matter is that most AI image generators, what they have done is they have trained them on very large data sets. So they've given them access to hundreds of thousands to millions to billions of images, and then built a system that lets the AI categorize what those images are like and what qualities represent those images. Now, they don't do all of that by hand. They can use this neural network deep learning technology to let it learn on its own how to find certain specific things. When you take something like text prompt images, which I believe the entry to this competition was, what you do is you take a text description of an image and the AI then generates an image. And there are many versions of this now. Some people have said, like, create a short movie about a man on a surfboard. Some people have said, create art or, in some cases, simple websites or video games. There's also a very famous piece of AI called ChatGPT, which is a chatbot that can simulate many, many types of things, like writing simple computer programs or pretending to be certain people from history. Now, this last part is rather interesting, which is that if an AI looks at an artist's works, it can then attempt to generate a artistic work that is like an artist. And there are some countries, and I thought this fact was very interesting, that prohibit copyright on AI-generated images. Because copyright is supposed to protect a person's intellectual rights to their property. It says, like, I have intellectually created something with my own mind, and then I have some protections to that. So if you don't create something with your own mind, you do not have copyright protection for it, because you don't have intellectual right to it. So in that sense, you can see, and Germany is the country that currently has laws in place. I think some other countries do. They vary, the laws vary from country to country. The reason I bring up Germany specifically is because the artist who entered this competition in photography, the artist who created this photograph resides in Germany. So I thought that the fact that Germany as a nation doesn't recognize legal ownership of AI-generated images as being the person who prompted the AI for them as their own property.
I actually kind of like that, because I just kind of like, you know, a nice expanding public domain. I think a flourishing public domain is important, but I think that this is, I think that the non-copy, and it might not be public domain, there might be other, they might still have like moral rights or something like that. But the point is, yeah, that is interesting. There's this, so it's on the idea that because it's supposedly the AI that is producing the image and not the person composing the prompt, that that's the reason, because intellectual property rights are for kind of something about the intelligence that produces it.
You can think about it as like the labor of the intellect that was done to create this work was not done by the person who made it. Therefore, they do not have a right to intellectual copyright over it, because copyright is for those people who have put in the work to create their own intellectual works, whether they as those be books, images. I do remember there was a court case a while ago where there was a question whether or not a photographer owned an image that an animal had taken of itself. So a photographer left a camera in the same room as an animal, and the animal took a picture of itself with the camera. And then I believe the court ruled that the artist who had submitted this work did not own the picture because the animal had taken the photograph.
Right.
So you have multiple lines of thought regarding the ownership of works and the generation of AI-based works. I would just like to remind our listeners that you're listening to the Canadian Philosophy Show. I'm your host for today. My name is Aaron Wang, and I'm joined by my co-host, Brandon Brownlee. We have been talking about the philosophical nature of art insofar as we understand it, which may not be very much, and the nature of artificial intelligence, which we also may not know a great deal about. So, and I think it's important to note that, because it's important to know that there's always more complexity here, and we should always have humility in our academic pursuits. So moving forward, I'd like to think a little bit about the ethics of AI art generation, and we touched a little bit with regards to the legal rights. So you could definitely see the legal proposition of not allowing AI-generated works to be copyrighted having a ethical justification behind it, that if a person does not work on their own to produce a certain work, they do not have the right to claim ownership of that work to prevent it from being copied or used. Now, commonly, it is the case that AI-generated works are allowed to be sold. So even if you can't copyright it, you can still sell it. You can still use AI-generated tools